two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've seen the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. Call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey. It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning, taking your calls and questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. I was driving in, Ton. I thought, oh my gosh, what a gorgeous day. We should be out in the garden.
It is a great day. We're going to have good weather, and it's just a great day to prepare to do things with tomorrow, with the rain coming tomorrow. I'm going to try to get out in my own yard today.
You know, it's amazing what a difference it makes. I planted my tomatoes finally, had everything ready to go, planted my tomatoes and a few petunias on Wednesday, Thursday. Things were looking kind of droopy because it was warm, and then that rain came, and everything is so happy.
It is. You know, that rain we got last week, I was able to skip watering my yard for 3 or 4 days. You know, it wasn't a lot, but it was enough with the cool weather that it really did help out.
So if it's going to rain again, a perfect day to get out and do some planting. This morning, go ahead, Ton, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Can't wait till we can be back in studio again together. And I think it's going to happen because, you know, they said this week we didn't have to wear masks in the office if we were all fully vaccinated. And we were. So I have seen the faces of people that I've never even, like, never met before. Like, we have new employees who I've never seen their faces before. And
good.
Yesterday it was like, oh, my gosh, that's what you look like. It was so weird. It was so weird, Ton. So I know it's going to happen.
Yeah, I hope we can get together sooner or later, sooner than later, so that we can get back into studio and be able to see each other's faces to do the show.
Right. This morning, plant of the week is the Firewitch Dianthus. And tell us about this beautiful plant.
Firewitch Dianthus is a relatively new cultivar of Dianthus. It was introduced in the early 2000s, but really became popular through 2006. It was a perennial plant of the year, and it was bred in Germany of all places. But what it is known for is that it's relatively easy to grow, and it blooms from mid-spring into early summer. And so it has quite a long bloom time as far as perennials go. And then if you keep it deadheaded, it will sporadically bloom through the summer, but you get another really good flush of blooms in the fall.
Which I know that you picked this one just specifically for me because I'm the one trying to have flowers in the yard. I would do it year round if I could. And with pansies, I actually get away with it, but season round at least.
Yes. And so it's not that it's going to have a full flush, but if you deadhead, it will keep sending up enough flowers that it looks pretty. And the other advantage to this particular Dianthus is that it will tolerate some afternoon shade. And so you can plant it on the east side of your home and it will be happy there.
Okay. But mostly it likes full sun?
Correct.
Okay. How about the soil?
Average soil, as long as it's not super salty, you know, so down toward the lakes, you know, that's one area that you may need to be a little cautious. But whether you have sandy soil or clay soil, it seems to be quite happy. I've seen it growing in West Jordan and Taylorsville, which have fairly clay soils, but also on the Leighton Bench where there's lots of sand. So a relatively adaptable little perennial.
How much water does it need?
It needs an average amount of water, so deep watered probably weekly. Mm-hmm. And it will tolerate short periods of drought, but it isn't one that will just survive a desert.
Right. And anything else you want to tell us about this beautiful plant?
It needs to be divided fairly regularly because it's a short-lived perennial. But if you go ahead and every couple of years in the spring, just before it breaks dormancy, divide it, you can keep them going for quite a long time.
Yeah, I was looking at the petals. It almost looks like a mini, I don't know, what do I want to call it? I'm totally distracted by your signal. We're going to have to take a break here and have you reestablish, Tom. But does it come in multiple colors?
It does not. It just comes in the pink. There are other similar dianthus that are perennial that do come in similar colors, but it is just that one shade of pink.
All right. And we do have an article up on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page if you would like to learn more about that dianthus. We're going to take a break and come back with your calls and questions. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. A lot of people very excited about planting. We've got people lined up.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning. And what a beautiful Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you this morning. Number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We already have our callers lined up. And Philip is live on the line from Lehigh this morning. Good morning, Philip.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What's your question?
Well, I have 6 hornbeam trees in my yard. This spring, they all started looking really good, and in the last month, one of them, the upper portion of the tree is not leafing out, and it's still green. The buds are still there, but it just doesn't seem to be doing anything. I'm wondering, is there something I can do to save this tree?
Well, we actually have been seeing a lot of this year on the Facebook Utah gardening experts. We've had several people ask why their hornbeams died at the fence line, and I really do think that it is weather related, and it may have been that the tree's gone into the fall with drought stress, or there could have been an incident with high winds through the winter that could have caused some of this. But you're not alone. And when we see these things crop up, it's very difficult to know exactly what happened. But on your trees, is it dead at a fence line perchance?
Yeah, just above the fence line. But the other 5, which are all in a row there, are looking very good.
Yeah. And so does this particular one have any situation that's different than the other trees to where it might get more water or less water?
Well, they're all on the same drip system. This one is in the corner of the fence. where it was on the south, on the north side of the fence, so it was probably covered with snow longer than the others. But I've dug around it, and the soil seems to be about the same water consistency okay. on all of them.
You know, all I can really say is that the hornbeams just have a tendency to do this. I love how beautiful the trees are, but they're not a super durable tree as far as the Utah climate. And you will see that you have a line just like yours of five of them, and then all of a sudden one just is half dead. And I think it more relates to our hot, dry weather and lack of humidity that really does it. But something's happened over the last winter that has caused this, because it's not just you.
Can I top that tree off, that some of the larger branches on the bottom half of the tree are green and they're bushing out? Could I cut that top off and would it recover?
It would. What I would recommend doing is giving it another couple of weeks and just make sure that it doesn't leaf out, you know, give it at least until June. And if it doesn't, then go ahead and prune out the dead and then let the lower limbs take over.
Okay. So when I do that, should I prune it back to one of the center ones?
I would start with just cutting out all the dead, and once that is done, if you have a branch that looks like it can kind of take over as a central leader, that's the one that you would train up for the leader. But, you know, that tree is going to be shorter for a number of years, but I think you'll also be surprised about how much, because of stored energy in the roots, it how fast it hopefully recovers.
I have a weeping white spruce tree, a couple of them, and last summer they were just loaded with pine cones or cones, and they didn't fall off during the winter. Should I just let them fall off naturally?
Yeah. Don't pick them off. I mean, you can if you really want to, but they don't naturally fall off for a couple of years.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks so much for your call this morning. Ton, our next listener is wondering something that I have wondered. They're talking about those apps that you can put on your phone that you can identify plants with, and I've used at least one. But they're wondering which one you would use. Is there one that is more accurate? Because even when I was trying to identify a plant, and I think I put it on a couple of the different gardening sites, the app did not identify the plant correctly. So is there one app that is more accurate that you like?
I don't use them.
Because you know all the plants?
Yeah, and I don't mean this in like a boasting way, but for landscape plants, there's perennials that I sometimes like, what's that? Mm-hmm. But because of my schooling, I've just never had to use them. Mm-hmm. And so what I would have to do is maybe have them jump on like Utah Gardening Experts or Utah's Best Gardening, one of the online Facebook groups that right. and asking there. I do know that it seems like the subscription-based ones work better than the free ones.
Okay, well, that's interesting. It seems like they know all of the basics, which many of us know. But when it comes to something unusual, they don't do a very good job at that.
No, they don't. It can be confusing because you have to have a quality picture that meets the app standards. But then when you have either a maple leaf or say an alpine currant leaf or then a perennial hibiscus, depending on the form, all those look so similar that some of those apps can get very confused.
Right. Let's go to our next caller. That is Steve in Kaysville. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Good morning. What is your question?
My question is why has my 11-year-old wisteria never once blossomed?
I need to ask some questions. First, is it planted in a shaded area?
I want to call it moderate sun. It's dappled kind of light, but there is, during the day, there is some fairly good light on it.
Is it at least 6 hours of sunlight?
That would really be stretching. So
okay, because the shade could be impacting it. Now, the other question is, are you pruning it?
Not much.
Okay, because the wisteria blooms off one-year-old wood, and so the new growth this year is next year's flowers. And so if you prune that, then that would lose it. But I really am wondering if it's shade-related, because the wisterias really do like full sun.
All right.
Now, you would get a few, and they would be small. But there also are situations that, like in apple trees, that you can buy a wisteria and 1 in 10 just never blossoms. And, you know, it gets the same care as all the other ones, and then it just doesn't. And at that point, you just chalk it up as a loss and plant something else, or, you know, another wisteria in a sunnier location.
I can understand that, yeah. All right, kind of what I thought was the sun. So thank you very much.
You're welcome,
Steve. Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener says that they sprayed their fruit trees last Monday, I believe, with Melathion, and then it rained later that day. Do they need to reapply?
Well, Maria, I congratulate you on your interpretation skills.
Well, sometimes it doesn't print out the full word, and
yes,
so I'm like, what is that?
Well, I thought I was going to have to do that one because I had looked through it earlier, but that was good.
Thank you.
Yes,
getting better at those. Interpretation.
All I can really say is they're going to need to look at the label. The labels generally say that you should have a 24-hour period without irrigation or hitting the leaves or rain. But all they can do is look at the labels and see how long it takes for that product to be rain fast.
Okay. Next caller, let's go to Lynn in Mapleton. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning. I also have a question about spraying fruit trees. I printed the tree IPM dated May 14th about the timing for spraying for coddling moth and also for peach tree borer. And we're in Mapleton. Which one of the dates do I want? Alpine, Genola, Lincoln Point, Orem, Payson, Bull Airport?
You know, if you're in Seneca. Mapleton, then I might, just because you're closer to the bench, I might use an Orem, not really Orem bench, but maybe American Fork or the West Mountain, weather data, because you're going to be a little bit ahead of the valley floors.
Okay. And which is better? It gives me alternatives to use neem or maybe to use the fruit tree spray. Which, in your opinion, is better? I have both.
What are the products? I don't have the update right in front of me.
Well, I have Ortho's fruit tree spray. It says Carvarol, Malathion. It says the organic is
probably CBX. Captain Jack's. Yeah, Sidex or.
Well,
yeah, so any of those products will work. The Ortho fruit tree spray, I believe, has pyrethrins and maybe piperonal butoxide in it. Malathion or 7 are going to be stronger, but they have potential to knock out insect predators if they're misused. And so maybe what you could do if you have them for coddling moth is use the Malathion or 7, which is Carbaryl, as your first spray. And then on the next spray, when that next update comes out and tells you to, switch over to the Ortho fruit tree spray.
Okay. And will that knock out the peach tree borer as well, or is that something different that I spray for?
The peach tree borer, Carbaryl or permethrin are the two major products that will last about 3 to 4 weeks. And so what you would do for that is they will give you the timing, but starting in early June, get either Carbaryl or permethrin and really spray the trunk, lower limbs, and especially around the base of that tree thoroughly every 3 to 4 weeks. And that will keep the peach tree borer from reinfesting or infesting a tree.
Okay. The fact that it says on here the best date was May 20th and we're past that, is it still fine to do?
It is. You don't need to cut your trees down or anything. It's fine, yeah.
Okay. Sounds great. And what about fertilizing? Do I fertilize these fruit trees now? My nectarine trees not got nearly as many leaves as my apple trees.
That could be a sign of peach tree borer, because nectarines are fuzzless peaches. And so that could be some of it, or that could be residual frost damage. If you wanted to get a quarter to a third of a cup of just lawn fertilizer, as long as it's not weed and feed, and sprinkle it under the canopy, that would give it a little bit of a boost, but wouldn't be too much.
All right, and thank you for your call this morning. We need to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. And today's lawn care tip of the day is sponsored by Biograss.
Hi, I'm Clark Bell of Biograss Sod Farms with your weekly lawn and gardening tip. Our state is in serious drought conditions, and we all need to conserve water. You can conserve water and have a beautiful garden and lawn by using mulch, black garden soil, and sods specifically designed by Biograss for Utah. My family in Biograss has spent years researching and developing grasses and products which require less fertilizer and much less water. We call it the science of great sod, and we save homeowners millions of gallons of water each year. Visit us to see our entire line of eco-friendly lawn and garden products specifically developed for Utah. And you can win a free big yellow bag by entering your garden in our weekly contest. Go to Biograss on Google, click photos, and then click to add your photo. We want to see the great work you're doing and see how your garden looks while we all conserve. So visit Biograss on Google, click on photos, and then click to add your photo. We'll pick a new winner each week. I'm Clark Bell. Thanks for conserving, Utah.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.